Listening to GLT's Talkin' Blues. The music you're hearing is from the album Heavy Timber. It's on the record label called The Sirens. It's a little label out of Chicago that documents some of the unheralded keyboard players in the Windy City, mainly piano players, but some organ, jazz, blues, and some gospel music. And Stephen Dolenz is the president and founder of the label. He joins us in studio. Stephen is the chair of the computer science department at Bradley University, but many years ago you went from Chicago down to New Orleans to go to Tulane University. Is that what you were studying down there, computers?
Actually, I studied physics and political science.
Really?
As an undergraduate. My main reason for going to Tulane was to listen to James Booker and Professor Longhair, which I got to do. And then I got my master's degree in computer science from Tulane, and I went on to work at Texas Instruments and got my PhD at the University of Texas, Arlington.
A number of years before that, as what, a 12, 13, 14-year-old, you're digging into blues and jazz and gospel music. How did that happen?
I had three older brothers with large record collections, and I would listen to Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf, and I would read the liner notes. Seemed like this gentleman, Pete Welding, wrote a lot of the liner notes for Chess Records, and I discovered that he owned his own record label called Testament Records, and I got an LP by Irwin Helfer and Jimmy Walker on Testament, Boogie Woogie Duets. In those days, I didn't drive, and I had my mom drive me to the Jazz Record Mart, and there were two locations. One was on Lincoln Avenue, and I would go through the record stacks, and that's kind of how I learned about a lot of the blues artists. And then getting back to Irwin Helfer, I went to the University of Chicago Folk Festival, and I think it was in 1971.
How old are you at the time?
15.
Okay.
And I called up Irwin Helfer like the next day and asked him if he gave piano lessons, and I started taking piano lessons from Irwin at that time.
There is a connection besides just the recording then. You started a personal connection with him.
Absolutely. And it was around in 1971 that I started taking piano lessons. I never played piano. I had to convince one of my friends who drove to take piano lessons too, so that we can drive to the city and take lessons from Irwin.
So even back then, it was probably a little unusual for a guy your age to be really into jazz and blues music, and I don't know if gospel was hitting at that time. When you listened to your brother's record collection, was it almost immediate that you went, whoa, what's this? I really like this?
Well, I heard, it was a recording of Pete Johnson doing Roland Pete, and I just fell in love with Boogie Woogie Piano at that time.
That would make sense. That's fun music.
And, of course, all the Chess recordings. And then it turned out, I discovered that there was this club that allowed minors, and this is before I was able to drive, so my brothers were driving me to this club to go see Jimmy Rogers and Johnny Young. So for listeners who don't know those two players, musicians, great musicians, Jimmy Rogers was in the Muddy Waters band, and of course he had a great career. And then Johnny Young was probably the best ever blues mandolin player. And I was able to see these artists. There might have been 8 people in the room. It's really kind of sad, but it was a great experience for me to hear those musicians growing up. And it was at a veterans,
like a VFW?
Yes.
Okay. Really? 8 people at a VFW, and you're seeing one of the all-time greats.
Oh, and Lee Jackson and Sam Lay would play. This keyboard player, Bob Reedy, would organize these concerts.
Sure.
It was a great experience for me, that's for sure.
I'm walking by myself. I hope you understand. I just want to be your loving man. Love you. Yes, I love you with all my heart and soul.
And then I got their recordings, and I was amazed by the recordings. Of course, at that time, I was listening to, for example, Paul Butterfield.
Well, that really makes sense, because Butterfield was pretty big in Chicago, especially at that time.
Yeah, so he did this song, Walking By Myself, and it was always one of my favorite songs. And then I discover, you know, that Jimmy Rogers, that was his big hit with the great harmonica solo by Big Walter on that. So when I heard the original recordings, as much as I like Paul Butterfield's recordings, it was just amazing that here I'm seeing and hearing Jimmy Rogers, who originally wrote that song.
I just want to be your lover, man.
Did you feel at that age that you discovered something that was secret that nobody, especially your age, really knew about?
Absolutely. And every time I'd go to the, you know, discover something new or some connection of some artist to another artist, it was discovering something new.
Well, and you did work with your brother and someone else and founded the record label The Sirens. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So, you know, Irwin, I kind of emulated Irwin Helfer. He studied at Tulane University, and I went off to Tulane University. Irwin started a record label when he was 19 years old and recorded Speckled Red and Billy Pearce, some great pianists, when he was 19. And I kind of emulated Irwin and started the Sirens Records when I was 19 in 1975. The first thing that I did was reissue his primitive piano recordings, because it was such a great record that needed to be released, one of the best blues piano records. Following year, after learning a little bit about the music business and the record business, I recorded Heavy Timber, and I needed some capital, so I solicited the help of my brother and my friend who I took piano lessons with Irwin, and I got them to contribute to the cause, and we recorded Heavy Timber.
Well, here's the opening track from that now classic album. It's Blind John Davis, Davis's Boogie, on GLT's Talkin' Blues. Thank you. That's Blind John Davis from the album Heavy Timber, recorded by our guest Stephen Dolenz. He's the president and founder of the Sirens Records out of Chicago, and this is GLT's Talkin' Blues. I'm John Norton. So, Stephen, you're in the studio with all these great pianists. How did the actual recording go down?
Well, we had an engineer, Stu Black, I forget the name of the recording studio. It was on Michigan Avenue, I think it was Sound Studios. At that recording session, Irwin was quite friendly with Sunnyland Slim and Blind John Davis and Jimmy Walker. So we invited them. I remember calling them up on the telephone, asking them to participate in this project. And then I don't know how I found Willie Maybon. Willie Maybon was living in France in that time frame. For some reason, he must have been in Chicago that summer. And maybe I got his phone number through Sunnyland, because Sunnyland was very, he liked to help musicians, other musicians, and I'm pretty sure he probably was the one who gave me Willie Maybon's phone number. He agreed to participate. So it's amazing that these great blues musicians who had unbelievable careers, willing to trust an 18-year-old to do a recording, but that's the way they were. They were very trusting and very willing to help in any way, and it turned out to be a historic recording.
Thinking about Barrel House Chuck, who's down the road a little bit with you and your recordings, but Chuck likes to tell the story of driving from, I think, Florida to Chicago nonstop. I think he said it was 24 hours or something like that. Walks into a bar. He's looking for Sunnyland Slim. Let's see if I have this right. He says, "I'm looking for Sunnyland Slim. That's me." And they sit down and start playing piano together. Do I have that roughly correct?
You have that absolutely correct. And Sunnyland doesn't get enough credit, but he, I believe, introduced a lot of the musicians, including Muddy, to the Chess Brothers.
Really?
He was just so supportive of musicians, anyone in the music industry.
What was he like in the studio itself?
He was the most boisterous of the five musicians. He had this booming voice that you could hear, probably even though we were on the 20-some-odd floor on Michigan Avenue, you could hear his voice probably on Michigan Avenue.
"You see, look good, boy, with the natural look. You mess around the woman, she get you hooked. She talks, you neat, boy, she don't want your light. But all of my babies out of sight. She got a thing going on, yeah. Woman got a thing going on. I'm gonna tell everybody, my baby got a thing going on."
You asked about, you know, who was the producer. I was essentially the producer, but I let the musicians do what they needed to do. Stu Black was an experienced engineer. I did have a couple of people in the studio, like two of my brothers and my other business partner, David Goldberg, and I had Jim DeJong, who he worked at the Jazz Record Mart. It's kind of a mentor of mine, and he was helpful in the studio. He's the one that suggested, "Oh, why don't you..." There was an organ sitting there. It turns out we had a couple of really good recordings with Irwin on piano and Sunnyland on organ, and we even had a bonus track when we came out with the CD with Blind John Davis on piano and Sunnyland on organ. So it was interesting. It was very dynamic. Jim made that suggestion just in the middle of the recording session to create some of those duets.
The Johnny Sunny Blues, track 19, 100. How's the blues?
Were all those guys in the studio at the same time?
Yes.
I know the pictures there, but yeah, cool.
The pictures in the studio, they were all there, and that was kind of the charm and why this recording came out so well, I think, was that they encouraged each other. It was kind of call it a house rent party in the studio. So that's what made this recording so special. Now, when Irwin recorded Primitive Piano, Speckled Red was in St. Louis, and Billy Pierce was in New Orleans, and Doug Suggs was in Chicago. So he didn't do the same thing, but he did. I mean, it is a classic in its own right as well.
Talking with Stephen Dolenz, president, founder of the Sirens Records out of Chicago, documenting the great keyboard players. Let's go a little bit more about Irwin. You guys have been linked for a long, long time together. Could you talk about Irwin Helfer, the man?
Sure. Irwin Helfer is the original blues brother. He befriended these musicians and recorded them, but he's the opposite of what you think of when you think of the Blues Brothers, with car crashes and driving fast cars. He rides his bicycle to his gigs.
He still does.
He still does
that to this
day. At 79
years old.
Absolutely. He even does it in the winter when there's snow on the ground, so go figure. And he takes his bicycle seat off and brings it into his gig, and he is still an active 79-year-old, that's for sure. He is an interesting fellow, so nice and generous, but he is an animal lover. One of his, even the name of one of his tunes, Pooch Piddle, he has a quirky sense of humor. The name of his first CD was I'm Not Hungry, But I Like to Eat Blues.
Well, he's had a street named after him now.
Irwin Helfer Way. So he likes to joke that the city named the street after him and put up a street sign in case when he comes back from his gigs, he can find his house. So that's what he likes to say.
Is it like a block or two, or is it longer than that? What is Irwin Helfer Way?
It's the block that he lives on in Magnolia in Chicago.
How cool is that to have a street in Chicago named after you? That'd be pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Well, Stephen Dolenz is our guest. He's the president and founder of the Sirens record label. You went a long time from when you were a teenager and made a couple of recordings until you recorded again, I think, in the early 2000s?
Well, I was just pursuing a career working for some large corporations, and then in 2001, Irwin hadn't recorded in many years, and I thought it was an opportunity to give something back to Irwin for all that he's given to the community in the Chicago area and to myself. So we decided to make a recording, and at that same time, I was getting pretty good at piano, and Irwin suggested I take some lessons from Barrel House Chuck, and just getting inspired, going to Barrel House Chuck's house and seeing his blues museum, and he just inspired me to help the pianist, because in the blues world, you know, the guitar is king and the pianists kind of don't get the credit that they deserve. Of course, it was different in pre-war Chicago blues. Piano was everything, and there were so many great Chicago pianists, and I wanted just to make sure that the tradition wasn't lost. So I guess Chuck and Irwin inspired me to restart the label in 2001.
That's the title track to the album I'm Not Hungry, But I Like to Eat Blues by Irwin Helfer. It's on the Sirens Records, and Stephen Dolenz, the president and founder of the label, is with us in studio, and we're talking about the recordings that he's released over the years. So let's move forward. Let's talk about your latest release from earlier this year. It's by Chris Forman. He's an organ player, well, as well as a pianist, and this is sort of a jazz release.
Yes. Okay. Well, I've been trying to record Chris for at least 10 years. Another mission of the Sirens Records is to give musicians, outstanding musicians, opportunities and kind of create a legacy of their own. Chris, of course, carries on the organ tradition of Jimmy McGriff and Jimmy Smith. One thing that's also the Sirens does a lot, we kind of do unconventional things. So, you know, he has a gig every Friday at the Green Mill where he plays solo organ. Now, most of, if you listen to Jimmy McGriff and organ, jazz organ music, it's, you know, with a guitar, drums. But I wanted to record him solo. So I've been trying to do that for a while. And kind of how this recording came about, I got him to do a gig at Bradley University with Kimberly Gordon. He was accompanying Kimberly. At that concert in Dingledine, he was able to play the piano and organ at the same time. We had arranged the instruments next to one another, and he always wanted to do that because Jimmy McGriff had done that on a number of recordings.
You mean like one hand's on the organ, the other's on the piano?
No.
Or just go back and forth between the two?
He would go back and forth. And he would slide on the piano bench. Of course, Chris is blind, so you can imagine it's tough enough if you could see to slide from one instrument to another and hit the right key, so it was pretty amazing. Anyway, that was the one carrot I had to get him to record for me, was to give him the opportunity to record both piano and organ at the same time, and we did that on the latest recording, Now Is the Time. Some of the tracks, he overdubs piano, and some of the tracks he actually does slide on the piano bench and play both instruments.
Did it turn out as well as you were hoping?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a really good disc. NPR has been a big supporter of the Sirens, and it was reviewed on Fresh Air, so it turned out really well.
Stephen Dolenz, president and founder of the Sirens record label in Chicago, and the chair of the Computer Science and Information Systems at Bradley University. It's great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, John. I greatly appreciate it.